Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
A rare appearance by Brian Kilmeade coming up on a Friday afternoon. Although I say that, and let's hope that we can get him on the line here in just a little bit. We thought we'd save Brian for this hour. And a lot of times, as you probably know, on Fridays, I lighten the load just a little bit. We're not going to do that tonight because there's so much going on as we start the year, not only with the new legislative session in Jefferson City. You heard Mark Cox is going to be down there. We had Nick Shore on the air. Nick's hanging out here. He went and got a bite to eat. He's going to come back and join us at 5:30 for a little preview of the legislative session. He was on the roundtable earlier this afternoon. We got Kilmeade, like I said, coming up in a couple of minutes on Monday. And I'm going to get into this, I think, if I have time. Dave Murray is going to give us the latest on the forecast. We do have a snowy, icy mix that's going to start tomorrow. We've had many, many reports, including from some of our, you know, significance, that grocery stores have been just absolutely pummeled. There's no eggs or milk or anything like that. So people have really heeded the warnings probably too effectively. Now, my prediction, Dave probably won't like this, my prediction would be that we end up with like 1 to 2 inches. The thing about this storm, though, is really the ice. And I think that Dave pointed that out yesterday. He'll have details. If you get a layer of ice, even if it only snows 1.5 or 2 inches, it is going to be a mess. And then the other part of the story moving forward for next week is really bone-chilling single-digit low temperatures in the morning, high temperatures only in the 20s. If I have time, I'm going to try to make time for this story, but I'm going to tell you that Corey DeAngelis is coming up at 3:25 on Monday. He's with the American Culture Project. He is one of the leading advocates on education reform in this country. And it was interesting, last night I was popping around when I got home on Twitter, and I had a couple of people shared this with me today, but I noticed it last night that he was talking about something that was happening locally with Webster Groves. They have a new superintendent. I think there was a story that was in the Post a couple of days ago. It says Webster Groves School District names new superintendent. The school district will or has tapped a new superintendent, and she's a familiar face. Webster Groves Board of Education hired Jana Parker, a former district parent and St. Louis area administrator, to lead the district after the retirement of John Simpson at the end of the 24-25 school year. And they say she comes from Highline Public Schools in Washington State, where she was the executive director of curriculum and instruction. One of the things that Corey DeAngelis likes to do is kind of look into some of these folks, and he put what I would call an amazing string together on Jana Parker, dealing with her white fragility perspective, her endorsement of it's time for white people to understand their whiteness, all this other nonsense. Dr. Seuss was a racist. I posted this on Twitter yesterday, and you should check out the string from Corey. He'll join us at 3:25 on Monday afternoon. Right now, we got Brian Kilmeade as we head into the weekend. It's been a busy day in Washington and beyond. How are you, Brian? Happy New Year.
Same to you, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. It didn't look for a while that they were going to get this done on one ballot. There were some deals that were cut. I don't know if you know what happened behind the scenes, but Mike Johnson has been reelected as Speaker of the House.
Nothing major. I don't think he gave up anything major, but for the most part, now the big story, and I literally just got off the train if I missed it, is can they get that nine-person space? For example, nine people, same party. If they want to oust you, have to agree to try to oust you, put to a vote, instead of one.
Right.
So the next Matt Gaetz, you know, aspiring selfish.
You mean Tom Massey, without naming
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Although he's, you know, Tom Massey's really bright, no doubt about it. But Tom Massey does not have a big following. So, you know, Tom Massey just decides that I'll never vote for him, pull up my fingernails. Why? I mean, these people never play a team sport. Bottom line is, Speaker Johnson's going to be in there. I think he'll communicate effectively with the president. The president will be frustrated at times. This is going to be the story almost every time we talk. It's going to be, you know, who are the seven Republicans that won't agree on whatever it is, the new budget, the new, the tax reform. Remember, a lot of people didn't vote for the, a lot of Republicans didn't vote for the Trump tax reform. So they had some, you know, they had a big deficit. You know, I think they had 25 seats to give away last time, and still they passed it. Now, if you lose 25 people on renewing the Trump tax cuts, okay, it's not passing.
Yeah, and look, I think that I heard Chip Roy comment in the aftermath. I think I saw him on Fox. I think that there is a desire. I understand that some of these folks, and I get that Tom Massey's a smart guy. He leans more libertarian. I actually lean more libertarian. But I was encouraged yesterday, for example, Brian, we have a member of Congress, new member Bob Onder, who was in our state Senate here in Missouri. And Bob can be a little bit of an obstructionist at time, and he's a staunch conservative. So I wasn't sure where he'd fall on the Mike Johnson question. His answer last night was, yes, I'm voting for Johnson, not happy with the CR debacle, but think we need to choose our team and get to work. And I think that's the, you know, prevailing sentiment, is that maybe this isn't perfect right now, but good Lord, you're going to sacrifice a lot of political capital if you get into a speaker battle here in the first couple of days of 2025.
Yeah, and also he's got Johnson, who I'm a fan of. He just has to communicate. And that's the main thing. A lot of these guys, women, Victoria Sparks, go, we have no idea what he's working on. This hits me right away. No one communicated with this, me, you know. I didn't get my 72 hours, and it's 1,000 pages, and he only told 10 people. Now, Kevin McCarthy got a lot of those people elected. You know, he got in their funding, showed up for them. So if he had to skip them once in a while, he had a little bit of, understanding in the bank. I don't think that people understood that, you know, Johnson was not working for himself to get Louisiana stuff. He working behind the scenes to get this done in order to get to Christmas and then get Trump in charge.
Right.
With his Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of anticipation. This is good that they got this done heading into the weekend. You can kind of push forward. Obviously, it's a holiday week. Brian, I was off until yesterday, but holy moly, has there been a lot of news from across the country. Let me start with what happened in New Orleans. Let me ask this. I've tossed this out on a roundtable. I don't even know what to think anymore. Do you think that what happened in Vegas and New Orleans are connected in any way?
I don't think now. I don't. You know, I really don't. So they know each other. One guy loved Trump. Other guy loved ISIS. So I think, you know, we believe he loved Trump. We see him driving around Vegas for about an hour. He killed himself.
Right.
And then blew up the truck. This guy got out of his truck and started shooting other people. You know, he placed IEDs to hurt other people. This guy parked himself in the middle of a Trump Tower and blew himself up. Some speculate it was to get back his wife, who hated Trump. And told them they're done on Christmas. So we'll see. Someone who was telling me that they got a manifesto to check it out, so I'll read that. But as of now, unconnected, just coincidence. And no one's telling me that. I mean, if you just read the stories, they do seem unconnected. They don't know each other. And this guy is active in the military 19 years, and they say a Rambo-style American fighter.
Well, and I don't know in the end what we're going to learn about New Orleans in particular, but one thing I think that a lot of people are coming away with is a lack of confidence in public officials, in police officials, in the FBI, because of the way that that's been handled down there. The whole thing with the bollards is very confusing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but this does not instill confidence moving into this year.
Yeah, well, it's really not hard not to have confidence. And if you read the New York Times today, in 2017 they get these bollards. And then in 2019, they're not working. So they hired a private firm to check out the city. And they go, you got bollards. You got to get them working. And they go, okay, but it's going to cost money. Do you realize that beads got caught in the bollards and jammed them up?
I talked about it earlier because I was so confused. I gave credit to the New York Times, Brian, because I thought that was pretty good reporting.
Yeah, it's a private company that came up with this. And you said, you got to fix it. So they go, well, we got the money to fix it, but just for the Super Bowl. Oops. So then they have these other alternatives, and these, I forgot the name of them, these huge metal things that they're supposed to be able to stop a 5,000-pound truck. So, okay, the superintendent, when she heard about it, she goes, I didn't even know we had these.
Yeah, that's
and then,
that's
and then
weird.
The company said, now they put them out right away, and they're out now, and then the company contacted the press and said, they're using them wrong. That's not how you use them. So they don't have to use it. And this woman's background, she evidently got fired, she got fired from her other job, and she shows up she shows up all of a sudden in New Orleans, And she looks like she's, no offense, but we're used to like young, viral, yeah. you know, vibrant people. She's about 80 years old, I think.
Yeah, it's Ann Kirkpatrick. What I said yesterday about this, because in fairness, sometimes we look at people from afar and we're like, wait a second. And John Fetterman, Brian, is an example for me. We got to know John Fetterman. We saw maybe what the people in Pennsylvania saw. So my question yesterday was, maybe there's a little bit more to Ann Kirkpatrick than I'm seeing, but boy, it did not look good at all.
I'm open to being pressed. How about, yeah, we set up a system, and the terrorists beat the system. Any other questions? Oh, yeah. What's your system? Yeah, we put cops on the corner. We never thought they were going to drive up sidewalks. Meanwhile, in the ISIS doctrine, it talks about driving up sidewalks. So, yeah, that's what happened in Germany. That's what happened in New Zealand. That's one of the goals. It's actually written up. You go, and you're supposed to have multiple layers of fighting. So after you roll over as many people as possible, as fast as you can, they even recommend pickup trucks. Then you got to be ready to keep fighting. So make sure you have a gun in the car. It's like written down. So, they're about 40% light in terms of police force. Nobody wants to work there because of the whole George Floyd thing and terrible pay and no respect, murder capital of the country. So then you got to go protect the number one site for the Sugar Bowl, for the Super Bowl, and for Mardi Gras. No, thank you. Yeah. You know, this is a pretty terrible mix.
It's a really bad mix. What's coming up tomorrow night on your show?
Well, we got Percy Miller, Master P. He is the ambassador to entertainment, grew up in New Orleans. He just joined us at the last minute, and it's great. Robert O'Brien, Tom Holman will be with us, Tommy Lahren, and that breaks down really what we're going to put in the show. And we're just going to be covering what happened in the media this week. We're going to be covering what's going on with the tunnel. They found tunnels underneath on the Mexico side going into the American side. So Tom Holmes is going to talk about he's gotten contacted with people who bought the wall. They want to sell it back to us. So that's kind of cool. And Robert O'Brien, you know, he, like me, is not upset with the Trump team fighting with each other. I kind of like the real debate on the H-1B1 visa. I don't mind the debate that's going to take place over Ukraine. And Robert O'Brien says the thing that he likes about this team is that they like Trump. The other guys thought they knew more than Trump. So these guys understand that the buck stops with him. So I kind of like it, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Well, there is. It's a different, you know, it's a completely different start to this administration. And I think that, I don't know about you, but I think Trump's been on some unbelievable good behavior recently. I'm shocked by it. I really am.
He's got another gear. He's showing us another gear.
Brian, hope you had a great holiday. Happy New Year. We'll talk next week.
All right, go get him, Mark. Thank you.
All right, take care. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Sue, we got Dave Murray jumping on here
Good.
In just a couple of minutes. We're going to get updated on the weather situation. Then Nick Schor is going to come back into the mix. He was nice enough to hang out for a little bit. He was on the roundtable earlier. The legislative session in Jeff City starts next week. Senator Schor has some thoughts on that. A new governor in Mike Kehoe. So we'll cover that. And I started to talk. Let's see if I have time to do this before Dave jumps on, because I was mentioning Corey DeAngelis in this string, and I would highly recommend, if you don't follow me, go to at Mark Reardon KFTK. You don't even have to follow, but look at what Corey wrote about Jana Parker, who is the new superintendent in Webster Groves. And let me just say this, and this is what I tweeted. It is Webster, so we shouldn't be shocked by this at all, but he features a couple of Ibram Kendi quotes that she retweets. No one becomes not racist despite a tendency by Americans to identify themselves that way. We can only strive to be anti-racist. So this is the nonsense that has infected education throughout this country. We've tried to eradicate it. Corey, who is a big school choice supporter, has done a really good job at exposing it and trying to eradicate it. But I mean, if you go into her tweets from years ago, white fragility is everywhere, but does anti-racism training work? It's time for white people to understand their whiteness. She was retweeting a Time magazine piece. As a white educator, we have a responsibility to not be colorblind. While you may think the intent is positive, the impact has significant consequences. So what I would say, even though I'm outraged by this nonsense because kids are falling behind in schools, you have serious, serious issues with education, but they're going to hire the white guilty woman as superintendent in Webster because all the do-gooders on the board think that that's the way that they should go, even though the country has rejected this nonsense. And we saw that pretty clearly in the past couple of months. But congratulations, Webster Groves. I'm sure Kirkwood will follow suit. Dave Murray, are you there? Well, there's an alarm. Let's see if I got him locked in. There you go. Take two.
There
Dave,
we are.
How are you? Sorry about that. Hi, Dave. How are you?
That's good. I'm always lurking in the background.
So, you know, as you know, St. Louis, and I guess this happens elsewhere, but man, the grocery store shelves, they are bare afternoon, Dave.
It's gone. It's gone because you can never have enough French toast during a winter storm.
Yeah. So you talked about this yesterday. I think the biggest concern that Sue and I have is we don't like ice. And a lot of people like snow we might be able to handle. But where are we with the track of this storm right now?
Yeah, right now, the storm itself still has not come across the Pacific Northwest coast. It will by about 9 o'clock tonight. Then it will track over the northern Rockies and get torn apart, which is what the mountains do. And then it will use that energy that's left to go out into the central plains and spin itself together into a low pressure system. And that will take place pretty close to the Texas Panhandle. And again, once that happens, then we have a really good idea of what the track of this is going to go. But with that in mind, that's where I'm going to put the low. And that's when I can really track this thing out based on layers of the atmosphere and atmospheric conditions and the dynamics and synoptics that are going on. So the ideas from yesterday haven't changed a heck of a lot other than that we are now in a winter storm warning where the watch has been dropped. It's warnings in effect, which means this thing to some extent is going to happen. It's from 10 o'clock Saturday night until 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Tonight is dry. Saturday is dry. Saturday evening is dry. It will be cold, but nothing out of the ordinary. Snow starts after midnight Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and fairly quickly mixing with sleet. So the focus of the system is going to be Sunday and Sunday evening. So let's say from early morning Sunday until midnight on Sunday. Here in St. Louis, still looking like a mix of sleet, snow, freezing rain all day on Sunday. However, I do think a dry slot is going to cut into the system from the south sometime on Sunday afternoon. What that will do is shut the moisture off for about 2 or 3 hours, a little freezing drizzle. That's probably about it. The storm's not over at that point. We're about the halfway point. Sunday evening, the mix will start up again, snow, sleet, freezing rain, changing over to a few hours of all snow mid-evening up until about midnight on Sunday. Then the storm pulls away fairly quickly. Still dealing with a fine line of all of these mixes of moisture across St. Louis. We're in the mix for the bulk of the storm. The snow will start, again, late Saturday night. It will start as snow, but mix in pretty quickly, and it will end as snow on the tail end of the system, backside of the system. So what I'm thinking is by midnight, Sunday night, I still kind of like a single number of about 5 inches of snow and ice. However, that could include an inch of sleet on top of the snow and then snow going on top of that. And then freezing rain will also be mixed in. South of St. Louis, south of that DeSoto-Sparta-Mount Vernon line, it's all ice. It's freezing rain and sleet. Some real concerns there. Could be some power outages in those areas to the south. To the north, Columbia, Ellsbury to Carlinville. Don't want to change these lines too much. It's mainly all snow and up to about 10 inches of snow. Now, this thing will continue to get fine-tuned as it hits the northwest coast, as it gets sheared apart in the Rockies, as it comes into the plains. And I'll be perfectly honest here. This thing is going to be fine-tuning into Sunday morning as this thing gets closer and closer. And that's just what these storms do. You don't rush a forecast and you don't rush a winter storm. We have to let it play out and then we'll get some much better ideas. Though I like these ideas right now and I'm a really stubborn forecaster. So to get me to change these ideas will be pretty tough. And that's just the way I'm going to stick with it right now until I don't have to stick with it.
Well, and you know,
Monday morning is going to be a mess.
Yeah, Sue's already looking forward to that. Yeah. She can't wait. But the ice is really, you know, what I think worries a lot of people. You talk about power outages. I even got a text message, a preemptive strike from my friends at Spectrum. We're preparing for potential service outages during the storm. Visit spectrum.net storm prep for info. What do I have to prep for? Not having my internet for 3 days,
pretty
I guess.
Right.
You've done that all summer, Spectrum. Congratulations.
You're so used to that, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Dave, it kind of sounds like a winter trifle, right? So you get a little ice and then snow,
I like that.
And then more ice on top of it, and then more snow, and then
more snow, right?
Okay, and then when is it warm enough to melt any of
this
stuff?
I'm glad you brought that up because we got single digit lows next week, right?
Yeah, and it'll probably be upper single digits. I don't see us going below zero. However, with a fresh coat of snow and ice, it allows temperatures to drop down a little bit more.
Oh, eight degrees is just perfectly fine. Now that it's not going to be zero. Are you kidding me?
That's right. No, that's a big difference.
Yeah, a big difference. It is.
And the wind will be limited, too. So that's good news. Though with this storm, there'll be some wind.
Yeah.
But all next week, all during the work week, it will be cold enough to keep this stuff around for quite a while. I don't see anything really behind it. I don't see, as far as a storm is concerned, I don't see another reload of cold air. So hopefully temperatures, once we get through next week, will start to rebound on us.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for all the updates. We'll see where this winter storm takes. They named this thing, too, didn't they? Isn't there a name to it?
Really?
I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Don't make me say that stuff. Don't make me say words that I don't want to say.
And I appreciate that, Dave Murray. This is why we love you. Happy New Year, Dave. Thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it. I'll keep you up to date all weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, keep it tuned to 97.1 FM Talk. Well, you know, you're just in that situation where things can change. I think that's one of the messaging. Mm-hmm. There, one of the messages that we heard from Dave there. I still always follow this rule. When 3 or 4 days before a storm, they say 5 to 8 inches, it ain't going to be much in the end. So when Jane left here and she was asking if she should go to the store, my advice, and this is not Dave's advice, is you're going to be able to go at like 11 o'clock Sunday morning because this thing's not going to really happen.
I don't think so, yeah. Mark. I think this one will actually happen.
We are going to get ice.
And I have a new plan. I was going to go to the grocery store when I leave here. I think I'm going to get up early since I can, since I'm me, and if 6 o'clock is sleeping in, and go early. Huh?
Well,
what are your thoughts?
I think that's a better idea because here's one of my thoughts just from seeing some of the pictures. I think they might have to, Dave
restock.
Talked about reloading. They're going to have to reload some of those aisles.
Yeah,
you're right
about that.
Sue, I will bring you some bread if you need it.
Thank you.
And some milk as well. But hey, let's get ready for it. Now, I like snow.
I don't
like ice.
Yeah.
But if we're going to have snowstorm, let's get a few inches so the kids can go out and play. I'll play with the dogs. Love, love, love the snow. You know that school that's right
fun.
Over by where you live?
Other
side of Holly Hills. No, not St. Stephen's. Maybe it is St. Stephen's. The Catholic. So there's that big parking lot there from that school. And you could probably even still do this because we put it on YouTube. My lab, Chase, who passed away like 4 years ago, but we took him over there and it was his first snow. And I think if you Google Chase's first snow, you'll see my lab running around. It probably has like 13 views
How
or something like that.
How cute is that?
Used to have so much fun. All my dogs have had fun in the snow. They love it.
That's good. Bulldogs are like, what is happening?
Well, and I can relate to that. And Sue, I've told you this. So when I lived in Milwaukee, that's when I had Newt, my bulldog. And the one winter that stands out, and I don't remember what year it was, but in the month of December, we had 53 inches of snow. The month of December.
53.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm out there with the snow thrower. I got a snow thrower, not a blower. You got to have a thrower.
Wow.
And I had to carve out swaths in the backyard and the front yard for the dogs.
Yes.
We had a Cocker Spaniel at the time, and then they're both low to the ground, right? So they needed some help.
Wow.
And the weird thing about that winter is, and I joked about this a couple of weeks ago, because when we got that snow 2 weeks ago, it seemed like more snow than we had the entire year last year. In that month of December with 53 inches of snow, it barely even snowed anymore the rest of the winter, but that stuff stayed there. I mean, Wisconsin, the snow stays till about July 4th.
See, that's just it. I'll take 5-8 inches of snow if it melts within 2 days.
Yeah.
And there's no ice.
Because when you see the parking lots that still have snow in May, I'd say that's a little bit of a problem, right? We don't want that. I like global warming for Missouri for sure. We used to have storms, more storms, remember?
Yeah, we did.
Back in the day, as they say. Nick Shore coming up, state senator. He was on the roundtable. Going to get caught up on the new legislative session and a whole lot more. Talk a little crime in St. Louis. That's unique.
Get more at 971talk.com.